Talk Sport, on air, online, and on TV at Virgin Media Channel 927.
Hello, I'm Dave Spikey, and you're listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on Talk Sport.
So we go from the extreme physical fitness of 91-year-old, and mental fitness, let's be honest, because he was in great shape for a man at 91, and talk really about kind of sports psychology and how you can improve your performance, even as an amateur sports person, whatever you're doing. A book called Excel at Sports kind of covers that, and the world of neuro-linguistic programming, which may sound frightening, but bear with us. Jimmy Petrucci is the author. Jimmy, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
It is quite a daunting, you know, you talk about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and it's just explain in layman's terms what that is.
Well, NLP is the study of subjective human experience, and what NLP does is models excellence. So if someone's working really well, then we model what they do in terms of their thought process, and then we elicit those strategies and transfer them across to other people. So, for example, the analogy is, if we're going to run a marathon, who's the best person to ask? Someone who's never run one before, someone who's run several marathons, then we can find out what they do neurologically, but also their strategy internally.
Okay. And it says the book's aimed at professional coaches in football and other sports, but I think that the amateur sportsman will get a lot out of this, because there's a lot of techniques, aren't there, and a lot of things that you can do for yourself when you're playing either tennis or golf, for those sports that we were talking about just before we started, that are more, you have more time to think rather than football, which is an incredibly reactive sport, I think.
Yeah, very much so, and amateur sport is taken very competitively. A lot of people like to do really well at golf and tennis, and football as well. And I think that when you've got a break in play, for example, as you said in golf, where you probably have 14 minutes match time when you walk around an 18 holes, and in between you've got to play the ball, and what goes in the mind in between is going to influence the actual stroke itself. So very much so, sports where there's an interruption in play is more significant, and mental strategies are key.
You've applied these principles, haven't you, professional level? You've worked with professional clubs. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough over time to work with individuals from a number of different professional teams and also professional teams. I guess I've built a little bit of a role for myself to go in and help teams when they're up against it a bit. So, you know, notably I've gone into teams like Bury and Accrington when they've been struggling a bit and going in there and help them turn their fortunes around. And since then I've been working mainly with individuals from a variety of different teams.
Do you find players and coaches generally receptive to these ideas then?
It all depends, really. I think some coaches take it on board, some coaches aren't so sure, really. I think the terminology in sometimes doesn't do it any favours, where people look at it and see it as maybe a science, but generally speaking, it's just a basic strategy that we can take from someone who's doing something well and pass it on. But you get mixed reception, really. But results are what they go for. If results,
sure, yeah, of course, it's a results business. I like the bit about self-talk, because I think a lot of people will recognise this. We're often our own biggest critic, you say. Some of the things we say to ourselves, we wouldn't say to anyone else. And that is so true. You know, I've bowled a bad ball, it's gone for four, and I'm cursing myself as I walk back. You know, that doesn't do any good, really, does it, at all?
Yeah, because when we do that, there's a series of images that go through our minds. So if we're negative about something that we've done, and we say it internally, then there's images that go on. And we always tend to imagine the worst rather than see the situation as it is. So if we've got an opponent that we play against, we might be psyching ourselves up saying, well, I'll never beat him, I'll never beat her. And we've got these images and we see people in a distorted reality, really, rather than just seeing them for they are and play the game for what it is.
Hmm. What's that bit that I was looking at here that about language and limited by your vocabulary, which was another interesting thing, wasn't it? About in a way, that's kind of what you've just been talking about, hasn't it? Where you just say, I don't belong here, I don't deserve this sort of idea, which professional sportsmen that you've come across have said this to you, haven't they?
Oh, very much so. I mean, the gremlins creep in when there's a lot of pressure, and we're all human, and top sports people are human, and they've got lives as well. And a number of sports people I work with have got things that are going on off the field as well as on the field too. So they've got to deal with bereavements, marriage breakups, and obviously the press and the pressure that goes with it too. So there are times when they think, well, should I be here? Am I worth being here? And these things don't really do them any favours. And form is temporary. You could be in good form one day and not so good form the next day, but you can turn it back around pretty quickly. And a good place to start is positive self-talk.
So does the book teach you techniques, essentially, to sort of deal with these kind of things?
Yeah, very much so. The book is written in a structured way where you've got the technique, but you've also got a story to go with the technique, so people can relate to certain situations, because it's all good and well writing a technique, yet if you can't apply it to a story or a situation, you think, well, that might work for one person but not for me. But I think the book is informal in the sense where it gives examples and people have used similar techniques in similar situations that the person can relate to.
Hmm. You sound like you've got a hint of an Australian accent or an Antipodean accent. I don't know if that's true. But do you notice difference between, you know, English sportsmen or British sportsmen and, say, their foreign counterparts? Is there a difference in the mindset?
I think that the sportsmen over here, you've got some very talented sports people here and you've got some very successful teams across the board, really. I mean, you look at the cycling team here in the Olympics, they're very heavily into sports psychology, they've done very well. You look at the emergence of the swimming team as well, and obviously the football team isn't performing as well as I'd like to, I'd think. But I think that psychology is definitely coming into the game here more and more, and there is a competitive element. I think one of the things with sports people here is they want to be the best, yet there are a number of nations out there as well who've got similar aspirations too. So it's not easy to win a gold medal. It's not easy to be the best in the world at any sport. Yet psychology is playing a bigger and bigger part over here as well.
Hmm. You don't have a word with Andy Murray, do you? He seems like he could really do with you. Because yeah. There is a guy, we were talking about this earlier in the week. Him and Djokovic came up at the same time. They're a similar age. And yet one of them has gone on to win tournaments, to beat people like Federer and Nadal. And the other one, on the odd occasion, has done that. But in general, when it comes to the big one, doesn't pull it out. So, you know, it is interesting, the two blokes similarly with similar talents.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for Andy Murray. I'm not sure if he's got someone who's working with him yet. There are times, I guess, his body language might give a certain impression to viewers. I mean, certainly I can relate to the game that you referred to there against Djokovic, and his body language tended to go, and it kind of creates an atmosphere, really. And I think that, you know, you never know. He may already have someone who he's working with. But you are right. I think that psychology is a big, big part of winning. Getting that mental edge might be as little as 1%.
Although the book's kind of written and you give specific examples in sport, you kind of sense it's got a bit of a life beyond sport. The basic sort of building blocks of what you're doing are the same in sort of business or in life or in anything, really.
Yeah, very much so. Because in sport, as you all know, being a keen sports enthusiast yourself, that the margins in sport are very, very minimal. 1% is the difference between being a world champion and sitting at home watching the Olympic Games on TV. And if you take those principles in life and in business, you can only succeed and make things better, really. And people tend to look for the big answer, really. But I think it's a culmination of little factors that if you can put them right, then you can definitely overachieve and at least fulfill your potential, which is key.
I think there's more than 1% between me and Usain Bolt.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's probably higher percentage. Wouldn't it be great if it was just that 1%? Yeah. And that book
after
makes
this interview, yeah, and reading yeah. Jimmy's book.
And there you are
I'm
in London next year, a late call-up in the 100-metre final. Jimmy, good to meet you. Best of luck with the book.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
It's available, I take it, was the Amazon and the usual outlets?
Yeah, all leading retailers. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thanks very much.
Excellent sports by Jimmy Patricio there. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs. It's 2:02. Coming up the next hour, Euron Thomas will be joining us, an Olympic medalist, of course, and running his second marathon. We'll be chatting to him and talk a bit of Wales, England. Our man in Spain will have details of Real Madrid and the possibility that they could be striking and getting an extra free weekend before they take on Spurs. Clark Carlisle is going to join us as well of Burnley. We'll be talking to him and keep reliving the halcyon days of the inflatable and telling us your what a waste of time stories. 08717 22 3 3 4. Email at talksport.co.uk, text at 810 89, or tweet us at TSHNJ. The news and sports is next.